Last Word on Today FM.
So today, a programme for government was published for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and for the independents who are going to be part of the government. The regional independent group, 7 members, are joining this new coalition government, as are the independent Kerry TDs Michael and Danny Healy-Ray. Now, we'll hear in a moment from Porter McLaughlin, the Sinn Féin TD, who is the party's chief whip, who'll be leading the opposition to this new government. But first, Jennifer Carol McNeill of Fine Gael, thank you for joining us. I think there was a perception amongst many people that the last government was very heavily influenced by the Green Party, and that was something that many of the public reacted against. Is this new government going to be as heavily influenced by rural TDs at the expense of urban, perhaps, supporters of the government?
As an urban-based TD, no, it won't. And I think what you'll see in this government is a focus on the whole island, very strong regional strategy, a very strong whole island approach to growing our electricity grid and powering that with renewable energy. Maintain a very strong focus on climate, being real about bringing people with us on public transport, expanding roads and ports. All of these things have to happen together. This government is focused on delivering for Ireland, on delivering a stable government, which at a difficult time in the world is a differentiated thing and a very important thing. We have the capital to invest in our infrastructure. We need that. It needs to be delivered. And that's what this focus of this government is on, both urban and rural.
But how is it going to differ from the last government?
Well, for example, there's a different focus on the need for urgent capital investment in the grid, for example, prioritising renewable energy and having that connected, a different understanding of how data and data centres work in that industrial policy for the future, and making sure that that's very much part of the renewable solution, not an obstacle to developing the grid. There's also a very strong focus then on social issues as well, characterised, led by our focus on disability, which I believe is the social focus of this next government. A different emphasis being placed on older people, on mental health, with 2 different ministers of state being prioritised in those areas to have a real focus on those. Disability being amplified at the cabinet level. And then important things like patient safety, for example, and really prioritising those incidents of where parents have to go to court, and making that a much more mediated system for parents. So there's a whole range of different issues. This is a very long document, which I hope people will have the opportunity to read. The parliamentary parties are looking at it now. This will be ratified by Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil. The independents have their own process. But this provides the basis for a 5-year stable government for 5 budgets, which is what I believe, having gone through the election, people want to see: stability and strength in this government for the next 5 years.
Just before I bring Porter McLaughlin in on that, in particular, one of the big issues in the election, and one that Simon Harris got into particular difficulty on in the week before the election, was the issue of relation to carers. What is the situation going to be about the means testing of the carers' allowance?
As we said during the election, we will work to remove the means test for carers throughout the period of the government. That's what our commitment was, and that is what we're going to do.
But yeah, there's a lot of commitments were made by the parties in the run-up. Some of those are diluted, though. This one has gone into the programme for government, has it?
It's in the programme for government. Now, that's a matter for the Minister for Social Protection to do over a number of budgets, and also to make sure that to do over a number of budgets and to look at, for example, it's not clear to me that although we've expanded the eligibility for carers over the last 3 budgets, that the number of carers has actually increased. So why is that? It should be more, in my view. And I want to make sure that we're drilling down into the why that's happening. If we're expanding eligibility, well, you know, I want people to take it up.
A lot of listeners are pointing out already, texting into 0874 100 102, why are you not mentioning housing?
Housing has a whole chapter. Forgive me, Matt. This is a big, big document in front of me. Housing is a huge priority of the next government. It's a major infrastructure priority. It's a major social priority as well. And there is a whole, we have brought together in many ways many of the different measures that enable better affordability in housing into a starter homes package. So that, I think, will make it easier for people to see the different schemes, to see how they may be eligible, and to work out what's best for them, given whether they're urban or rural or their different stage in life. So forgive me, of course, there's a huge focus on that, as there is on health, as there is on the economy, as there is on infrastructure. This is a a considerable document.
Patrick McLaughlin of Sinn Féin, you've been frustrated now with two elections in your efforts to get into government. What do you make of the way that this has been set up to try and guarantee that the parts of the government will be in place for 5 years, that you're not going to get another shot until November 2029?
Well, it remains to be seen if the deal that they've done with the independent TDs is one that's going to last. That remains to be seen. We know that Micheál Martin was determined to keep Sinn Féin out of government. He was determined to put Fine Gael back in. That means that Fine Gael will be in power if they last the full term, almost a generation. And I don't think that was in the interest of the Irish people. If you look at the main crises, Matt, housing, and it's very telling that Jennifer didn't lead out on that. Housing, health services, cost of living. These are the real crisis across Irish society. These are the issues that people are looking for solutions. And if you look through the documents, you have lots of vague language. You have consider, seek to, if you compare, in the housing commitments and in the health service commitments, any objective person, if you go through this programme for government versus a home of your own, the plans in Sinn Féin for housing, if you look at, the Sinn Féin health service plan, you compare like for like, you can see the specific commitments, numbers, timelines, costings, none of that is in the programme for government.
But Patrick, to be an effective opposition, are you going to have to change many of your positions because you didn't get enough votes to get enough seats to be in government this time round? And if you are next time round, are you not going to have to perhaps change to suit what it seems the people want?
Well, I think there's a big opportunity for all of us on the left, and you have around 65, 66 now TDs that are on the left or are progressive. It's a very, very serious bloc. I think we need to work together. We need to show a clear alternative to Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in the time ahead. Obviously, we need to hold them to account. We need to show that this programme for government is full of vague references. There's no numbers, no specifics in the key areas. And if you look at 2020, the promises they made then, they just didn't deliver. So that's our job, that's our responsibility. And we're really looking forward to working across the opposition now and, doing our job, which is holding government to account, forcing them to do what's right by the Irish people.
Okay, but how are you going to retain your enthusiasm for that over 5 years? That's a long time to be waiting to get another chance to go into government.
Well, I'm not convinced that this is going to be a stable government. We'll see. Obviously, they've offered ministerial positions, but whenever you're in a constituency and you're an independent and you have to stand over decisions that are not delivering, I do not believe for one moment that the housing crisis is going to be turned around by this programme for government that I've looked at. I do not believe our crisis in the health service across all of its manifestations in the acute hospitals, in the primary care, mental health, disabilities, I do not believe it will be turned around. And I think that they'll be under serious pressure from their electorates not to stand by this government in due course.
How concerned would you be, Patrick, that we won't have the money to do everything that the government promises if we have the Trump administration in the United States putting pressure on the foreign multinationals who are based here to repatriate their profits to America to be taxed there, if tariffs go on the various goods and services we sell to the United States, that suddenly our tax base could be eroded, that our employment numbers could go into reverse?
Well, we have huge strengths, in fairness. I've talked about the negatives here, but the strengths are that we have a highly educated workforce. We are part of the European Union, that huge market of 500 million people. We speak English, which is a big asset in terms of American companies. And you can see that track record. In fairness, that's a strength that we have. And I think that those considerable strengths will outweigh whatever administration is in power in America for a four-year term. Of course, we have to be vigilant. We can't be complacent. But I think we have huge strengths that all of us can defend Irish interests with.
Do you share that confidence, Jennifer Carl McNeill, that we will overcome any issues that arise with the Trump government in the White House?
Well, I certainly wouldn't take such a cavalier attitude to the Irish economy or to the jobs-based economy that we have worked so hard to create. I would take a much more careful, cautious perspective than that. And that is why we need this stable government. That's why we need this focus on the economy. And in relation to specifics, for example, at that time, we still take the view that there's an opportunity to grow jobs numbers in this country by 300,000. That's specific. And Boric has said there that we don't meet our targets. Enda Kenny set that target in 2011, 100,000 jobs, and he was laughed out of the room. Well, we are well more than a million jobs on under a Fine Gael, series of Fine Gael governments with more people at work than ever before. And the electorate made their determination about how the economy and how society has been handled. Sinn Féin's vote went down by over 5%. They lost TDs, they lost significant vote. The electorate has had its say, and it would like a serious, credible government that is going to deal with the international challenges that are coming, that will come, and to steer the public finances and the economy and jobs and society with it through what may very well be a turbulent 2 or 4 years, depending on the outcome of the midterm elections. We take that really, really seriously. We have delivered a programme of government that is specific no matter what page I open, that is also enabling of different ambitions, where we would like to tease things out further and examine different opportunities. And this programme for government provides a platform for Ireland to be a serious, stable, forward-looking country for the next 5 years, acknowledging the external challenges we may all face.
Well, given that there are elements within America who are very sympathetic to Israel, how quickly are you going to advance the Occupied Territories Bill?
There's very considerable work to be done on that. As you know, Ireland's position was that we wanted an immediate ceasefire, the return of hostages, and the unfettered access to humanitarian aid.
We're nearly there in the last half hour. A ceasefire has been announced last half hour.
I didn't realise that. That's absolutely wonderful news, and I hope that that sticks. We have tried to use every lever available to us to try to bring forward that ceasefire and the recognition of state.
So where do we now stand on the Occupied Territories Act?
Well, we have been doing this to try, including the EU trade agreement, to try to bring about a ceasefire. We have, in this document, said that we will continue to advance the Occupied Territories Bill. I think that...
What does that mean? When will it come into effect?
Well, first of all, there is significant amending work. But my point is that what we have been doing is to bring about a ceasefire, which was the original Irish position that was not agreed by EU leaders. And it took many months for us to convince the rest of the EU that that should, of course, be their default position. They came to that position. It is wonderful news to hear that there would be a cessation of violence in Gaza, the end of that maiming and destruction of life and all civility. That is absolutely wonderful news. And to be honest with you, I think we would be better off digesting that and seeing what stability is available in that ceasefire more than anything else. My actual interest now is, what can we do on foot of that ceasefire? What can we do more now on humanitarian aid? What can we do in terms of medical evacuations? What can we do more to help rebuild and support the population of Gaza? And they are the first questions that I want to talk to the Department of Foreign Affairs, that I want to talk about in government, is what can Ireland do more now that there is a ceasefire that we weren't able to do last week to support the people of Gaza?
Well then, Padraig McLaughlin, do we need to be pressing on with the Occupied Territories Bill if we now do have, as has been reported in the last half hour, finally a ceasefire and a withdrawal apparently by Israel from Gaza?
Yes, we do. And, you know, when it came to the apartheid regime, it was in South Africa, Ireland led the way in terms of sanctions. And, of course, starting with the famous workers at Dunn Stores who led the way from a community perspective and then the government. And that was a proud stand we took back in the day. And we need to do that again. We need to make it clear that, you know, these are occupied territories. This is a war crime under international law. We should not be doing commerce with businesses, companies that are in occupied territories, land that you have taken away and stolen from other people. So, you know, this is very, very clear that it needs to happen as soon as possible. We in the opposition work together to make as much time available to government to do this before the elections, and now it needs to happen as soon as possible. We need to have a clear, independent foreign policy as an Irish people, which stands up for human rights.
It does. That's what we do. That is the bedrock of our foreign policy, which is about a total commitment to humanitarian law, international law, and a total focus on peace and humanitarian approach. I didn't hear Porrick acknowledge there the actions by the Irish state well over 18 months ago, where we reduced all of the ISIF funding, the strategic investment funding, from any businesses in the occupied territories. That happened a long time ago and is a very, very important statement of where Irish values were and have been for a very long time. But our focus, I'm so pleased about this news, and my first question is, what can Ireland do now in a practical way to support the people of Gaza? And where should our energy be in terms of medical evacuations, support, refugees? What can we do in a practical way? That's all I want to talk about.
Should we be taking refugees from Gaza? Pádraig McLaughlin, do you think should Ireland take refugees from Gaza?
Oh, I mean, if you look at in terms of the Syrian crisis, we did so, and I think the Irish people would support. I mean, wherever you have people who are genuinely asylum seekers, we should facilitate that, yes.
Pádraig McLaughlin of Sinn Féin, Jennifer Carl McNeil of Fine Gael, thank you very much for joining us.
You can have the last word. Text or WhatsApp us on 0874-100-102.
The last word
with Matt Cooper
on Today FM.
Let's continue with the new government. The programme for government was announced this afternoon. We're still going through all the details, but there are certain things that we know. And I want to start by going to Sean Canny, independent TD, who is going to be super junior in the next government in the Department of Transport. Congratulations, Sean.
Thank you, Matt.
What difference is there going to be in your approach to transport and that taken by the Green Party? Are you going to move away from this 2-to-1 split in spending in favour of new public transport over roads, as the Greens had insisted on in the last government?
Well, I think there has to be a recalibration of the way we're doing business, first of all, and to get things done faster, we have to look at our procurement, we have to look at the processes by which we deliver infrastructure. When you talk about roads, there are certain roads that need to be done, urgently. And
which roads?
Parochial. Not being parochial, but if you take, for instance, the outer bypass in Galway City is one that's on the cards for a long time and has gone through a process, but we have to, and a lot of money has been spent, millions has been spent without any result yet on that. There are other projects that need to be done right around the country, and I haven't got a list of them, but I know that some of them are in the National Development Plan. But what we need to do is make sure, first of all, that we have the capacity to do these roads that are necessary. We need also to look at how we're doing the active travel scheme, how we get the money quicker into the local authorities to get the works done, rather than spending a lot of money on paperwork and plans and visions and whatever else. We need to get on with doing some of the work as well. So I look forward to that, and look forward to getting into the department when the process is finished in terms of the programme for government being ratified and the Taoiseach being elected. But I'm looking forward to it, and I think I've never before experienced what I've experienced this morning, the amount of people that were on to me about roads and their areas that need to be done. So I think there is a supply chain, a supply of works to be done. It's a question of how quick we can get them done, and how we can get them done in a way is giving value for money for the taxpayer.
You and Noel Grealish are going to become so-called super juniors. You get junior ministries, but you get the right to sit at cabinet. You have two more of your colleagues with junior ministries, and Michael Healy-Ray is going to be not part of your group, but he's also going to be a junior minister. All this time that you spent working on getting positions for yourselves, how much input though have you had into this programme for government that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil all have actually announced today? What's in there that's yours?
Well, as a regional group, we prepared a document for the programme for government, a discussion document, 40 pages, going through every department with our vision for the programme for government. We inputted that into Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and we went through that with them. We spent days going through that, explaining what was in it. And would you believe it? I would say 95% of what we looked for has been put into the programme for government. And we have enhanced some of the issues that were also there from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. It's a 140-page document, but in fairness, I can look at things that we had put forward that are now in the programme for government. And we look forward to working with our partners in government to deliver on this.
Niall Collins of Fianna Fáil. I'm going to bring in Niall Collins of Fianna Fáil, because we've just heard from Sean Canny. 95% of what they were looking for has gone into this programme for government document. So are these independents the new Greens? Are these the new tail to wag the joint Fianna Fáil Fine Gael dog?
Absolutely not. They're going to be a very important, integral part of a coalition government. And I think that's a really good, positive move, because what we have now is we've got a very strong working majority and mandate within Dáil Éireann to deliver upon the programme for government. And I think what's really important also, and Micheál Martin has said this at our parliamentary party meeting, which is currently ongoing still, which I've come out to do this interview with you, is that the programme for government is very detailed, but it's not prescriptive in the sense that if ministers or if the government decides that there are issues or there are measures or there are ideas that merit action upon and implementation, that we will absolutely do it. For example, the previous programme for government didn't specify the lengths which we ended up going to in relation to the school meals programme. It didn't give a commitment in relation to the provision of free school books at secondary level, for example. And we did, we implemented that. So if a minister or if a party comes forward with a viable and a valuable, worthwhile suggestion, we will absolutely look at that and see, can we implement it within the given resources? He was also very clear, I think, to point out, and I think you'll be interested in this and our listeners will be interested in this, the programme for government is what counts. That is the document. There'll be no side constituency deals with anybody who's supporting government. And I think that's, to be fair to all, we all know where we stand. The programme for government is the document, and that's the main document that we will follow.
Let's hear a little bit of Michael Healy-Ray speaking to reporters earlier when he explained what his government position as a junior minister will mean for the people of Kerry.
We are ensuring that government are taking on board the issues and the concerns that are in County Kerry. And of course, remember, if they're in County Kerry, they're reflected throughout the rest of the country. We are going to use our position now, the two of us, in supporting the government and in supporting Kerry in what I would like to call a better and stronger way than what we might have been able to do in the past.
You see, Niall Collins, I thought he was supposed to be junior minister in the Department of Agriculture for everybody, but he's talking there like he's going to be the minister for Kerry. Is that what we can expect of these independents, that for all the need to act nationally, they're going to think and act locally?
Well, I don't think so. And certainly you can be testing that as we progress through the lifetime of this government. But look, I mean, the reality is, every member of Dáil Éireann is a constituency politician, and we all do keep an eye on our constituencies, and we do seek to represent and ensure that our constituencies receive their fair share. But at the end of the day, when you're part of a government, there's a national bigger picture, and I've no doubt that despite what we might hear in terms of rhetoric, we all like to I suppose communicate with our constituents, let them know that we're thinking of them and that we're acting on their behalf. But at the end of the day, I think the issues that Michael Healy-Ray, and I think he said this himself, experiences in Kerry, I experience in my county, Limerick constituency, Sean Kenny will experience, you know, so there's a huge amount of commonality between all of the issues, whether it's planning, whether it's roads, whether it's health, whether it's education. You know, the issues in any one given part of the country are not particularly unique to that particular part of the country. They're unique to pretty much most of the country. So from that point of view, you know, I don't feel that Michael Healy-Ray coming on board, or indeed Sean Kenny coming on board, that they're going to be dedicated parish pump politicians. They're bigger than that. And I think they are to be congratulated as coming forward in terms of wanting to be part of government, because a lot of people, as we know, and you've seen it over the years, come into Dáil Éireann and they don't want to take the decision to take on the responsibility. We as the Fianna Fáil party, we've always been up for the job, and we're up for the job on this occasion. And I think those who are offering themselves to support the government through the regional independence and through the Healy-Ray brothers, I think they are to be congratulated.
You're a rural TD yourself. What about this perception, though, that this government is going to be more rurally focused, despite the fact that the majority of people live in urban areas?
Well, I haven't heard that. I've always heard that criticism actually in the reverse, that the government is too East Coast focused, too urban focused. But I don't accept that. I think the document which we've been presented with within the last 2 hours, you know, has a strong regional balance in it, has a strong focus in terms of ensuring that we have proper balanced regional development. It has a significant section in it in relation to agriculture, in relation to enterprise, in relation to supporting our small and medium-sized industries, which are scattered right throughout every community of rural and indeed urban Ireland. So, I don't buy into this that the previous government was not mindful or didn't look after rural Ireland. That's not true. If you look at the Department of Rural Affairs, for example, during the last 5 years in government, there was huge amounts of support, particularly given to rural communities right across a whole plethora of very imaginative schemes which support rural communities in many, many shapes and forms. And that will continue and grow and be enhanced under this government. So I have no concerns. As a rural TD myself, I have absolutely no concerns in relation to that.
Sean Canny, it does seem, though, that the climate change targets for 2030 remain in place. How will they be achieved if there's going to be a different emphasis on climate change measures in this government to the last one, which included the Greens?
Well, I would say if you look, read at the programme for government and what has in there for climate action and what needs to be done is all very positive. We might be doing things a bit differently, but I think that the transition is something that has to be adjusted. I think what we have to do is support people who are making that transition. And I think we have...
Sorry, what does that mean? You're going to support people as they make the transition?
Well, say if you have farmers who are making the transition and the methods by which they farm, you have to support them in that and make sure that they are receive the supports they need. And for instance, we have huge potential in terms of generating energy through farm buildings and through solar and through cutting down on the way that we do farming and doing it more efficiently. But we need to support farmers to do that. But I will tell you another thing, Matt, that's huge, and it's huge in the programme for government, and it's in relation to our green energy and how we can actually harness the potential we have from our offshore energy. And I think when you read the document and what we have together put into that in partnership, we have created what I would say the enthusiasm that is needed in terms of a programme, and we will also work to implement
What about implementation? Program. Because you talk about offshore wind energy, for example. It's over 20 years since we last brought a offshore wind farm use into the grid. We're not actually doing it. There's all sorts of plans. They're not implemented. We've had the previous government had all sorts of plans in relation to the building of elective hospitals. Where are they? They haven't been built. There's all plans. So what is this government going to do differently about delivering?
Well, I think there's a number of things. First of all, the processes we use to build our infrastructure and our hospitals and all of that is moving too slow, and we have to look at our public procurement and that is something that we have in the programme for government, and how we make things more efficient, take out some of the what I would call the approval processes that are there because they're not all needed. We need to get on with doing work, because if we delay, it's costing us more money. And I do agree that over the last 15-20 years we haven't done enough to actually realise the potential we have out in the Atlantic. But I think that this is a very focused piece on the offshore wind energy and how we actually deal with that. And the first thing is we have planning permissions going in for at least 6 such projects at the moment, and we need to make sure that the resources are there to deal with these so that we get them through the loop, so that we keep confidence in investment offshore. And we also need to develop our ports to make sure that they're there to actually service that industry. And so we have an opportunity over the next 5 years not to be talking about it again, because I think if the next 5 years pass and we're passive about what we're doing, we'll be talking about the last opportunity we've had.
Just one last brief one for you, Sean Canny, before I go back to Niall Collins. As junior minister in the Department of Transport, where will you stand on capping the number of passengers allowed through Dublin Airport? Would you lift that cap?
I think we have to look at a number of things there, and this is addressed as well. We need to look at the cap and how we can get around that. We also need to look and see how we can potentially use the resources at the region or the airports in Cork, in Shannon and in Knock, and also what we have in Kerry and Donegal, so that we actually try to build on what we have. The cap is something that I think it is going to cause huge problems going forward unless we get it resolved some way. And I think we need to work on that with the planning authority in Dublin to make sure that we actually get a resolution that keeps our tourism going, keeps our traffic going. And also we have the potential of using the other airports to take some of that, not all of it, to take some of that problem that is there in Dublin, but it won't take it all. But we should be developing the airports better in the regions, and they can take passengers at the moment without any further investment in the airports. They have that capacity. They won't take
all right,
all
I'm going to have to leave it there with Dublin. You, Sean Canny, thank you. Niall Collins, the last one to you. It looks as if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are going to effectively swap most of the ministerial positions. Well, some stay. Fianna Fáil are going to keep housing. But other than that, an awful lot of them are swapping. Why is that?
So look, that's what's been reported. What will happen over the next number of days, Matt, is my own party, the Fianna Fáil party, we're holding a special one-day Ardesh in Dublin next Sunday, where the draft programme for government will be presented to our membership and allow an opportunity for debate and hopefully for approval of the document in terms of the Fianna Fáil perspective. I know Fine Gael are conducting a similar exercise through a series of regional meetings. We'll come back. The Dáil will sit next Wednesday. If everything goes according to plan, Micheál Martin will be elected as Taoiseach. And following that, he will then obviously sit down with Simon Harris. They will then discuss, maybe they'll have it discussed in advance of that, but they certainly, it's not been made public at this point in time what exactly will transpire. It's been reported that the portfolios in the main will swap from...
Yeah, the draft list has Fianna Fáil getting not just the role of Taoiseach for the first 3 years, but public expenditure, housing, which you'd be keeping, justice, social protection, transport, children and higher education, and Fine Gael is going to take foreign affairs, finance, enterprise, health, education, agriculture and arts. So that's a swap in nearly everything except housing.
Yeah, well, that's what's being reported, and that will be confirmed once Micheál Martin is elected Taoiseach and once once he appoints the cabinet.
And what job are you hoping for?
Well, look, I mean, it's like everybody else who gets asked this question. I've been privileged and honoured to serve as a Minister of State for the last almost 4.5 years in the Department of Further and Higher Education. I would obviously relish an opportunity to step up to cabinet, but that's a decision of Micheál Martin, and it's entirely...
And would you even be worried that if you don't step up, that there's going to be a shortage of jobs in the junior ministries, given that 5 of them are now going to independent?
Yeah, I think the numbers are something similar to the previous occasion when you had Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Green Party. But look, it's not really about jobs. I think the focus has been all along in terms of having the election, putting our own individual party manifesto before the people of Ireland. 500,000 people voted for Fianna Fáil. People voted for other parties also. We now have an agreed programme for government, and it's about getting that right. I think in the main, it's a very exciting and expansive document.
Okay.
I think people will read into it over the next couple of days. And, you know, it's the party leaders who will decide.
Okay, we have to leave it there. Thank you very much, Niall Collins of Fianna Fáil.
The last word on Today FM.